even really cover it. They just kind of gloss over it. And or they give a what I believe is a false interpretation of Genesis chapter 6. And they don't do it according to knowledge and according to studying and according to comparing Scripture with Scripture. That's what we're going to do here. I'm going to preach you three messages here today on this subject, and I'm not even going to be finished with these three messages. When I come back from the trip, I want to preach to you on the giants and some other things, and the Nephilim and some giants and some other things like that. And there may be three messages that kind of go on that. So don't worry, we'll get back to Matthew chapter 5. I forgot about that, and that's still in my heart. God's put that in my heart to finish that up. But this week I was doing some reading and some studying, and it kind of started last week really, and I was being led to kind of go in this direction. And I read this another book this week, and as I was reading through this book and reading Scripture and studying it and comparing Scripture with Scripture, I couldn't get this out of my head. I said, well, I'm going to keep going with Matthew chapter 5. And then the Lord had just kind of led me, and I was getting so full on this stuff and studying it and being fed by it spiritually by reading it and studying it. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to have to teach this because it's going to be like burning inside of me. If I don't get it out of me, it's just going to explode. So I need to get this out and teach this. Now, some of you that have been here, like Brother Lee and Carrie, that they've been here for, they have been here for, thank you, for 5 or 6 years. You've heard me touch on this before. I've never done anything in depth with this, but I have touched on it a little bit on the spirit world and on a few things like that. And I'm not for sure if, Sarah, if you would have heard some of this in the Bible study. I don't know if I covered any of that. It was one of those things that I was just coming out of being influenced of fundamentalism. And it's one of those taboo things that you don't really talk about that because it will label you. I mean, when you come out with this, it will label you. There are going to be people that are going to say, oh, well, this is crazy. And they always how do you say that? It's an ad hominem. Is that how you say that? They always attack you and call you names and they attack the speaker, but not the actual information or the actual evidence that's brought forth. It's a way to kind of marginalize somebody. It's okay. No, you know, you're just crazy. You're nuts. You're this, you're that. What does that do? That puts you in a box and labels you. But yeah, but you didn't answer any of the information. I know you said all that, but what about the evidence that's in Scripture? What about that? So I'm prefacing this by saying that sometimes some of these things, as the Apostle Paul said, or as the Apostle Peter said, some of these things are hard to swallow. Some of these things are hard to take if you've never studied this. Now, the first message, I'm going to prove to you who the sons of God were in the Old Testament. I'm going to prove that in the first message. In the second message, I'm going to prove to you what they did. And in the third message, there's going to be a continuation and we're going to talk about where they are now. So we're going to have 1, 2, 3, and we're going to say who they are, what they did, and where they are now. And then next time that we come together in this, we'll talk about their offspring and everything else. We'll get into that. And I don't know how far I'll get into that. And Brother Russ and I are going to have some interesting conversations as we get on the road here this week. And I'm looking forward to them. I really am. And it'll be exciting. Anyway, let's pray and get started. Father, we need you. We need wisdom from above, Lord. We need understanding. We pray, Father, that you please give clarity to us and Holy Spirit, move as only you can do. Father, we pray your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now we'll stop right there. There's so much in Genesis chapter 6. It is a very rich, rich chapter of the Bible. Explains a lot, but what we're going to cover is who are these sons of God? And you might say, why this sermon? You know, I believe there is such a neglect of preaching on the spirit world today. That God's people are so dumb that they really believe, and I mean ignorant in that way, that we are so ignorant that we kind of believe that, well, Jesus cast out demons, and there were demons rolling around then, and there was a spirit world then, but all of a sudden it all just disappeared one day, and we just live in the normal world. And yeah, the devil's out there, but he really doesn't do anything. He just kind of runs around out there. He doesn't really do a whole lot. Even though the Bible says he's a god of this world, and he has a kingdom that is set up, and he's doing things now, and his demons are doing things, and the fallen angels are doing things, and I believe angels still fall today, and I believe those things are going on in a spirit world, but we are blinded, and we only see the flesh. We only see what's in flesh and blood, and we don't understand, and we cannot relate to that spirit world because it's been hidden from us. Why? Well, because it's spooky or it's scary to people to talk about, or it's taboo to talk about in a church as well because, hey, listen, I mean, you can't be talking about a spirit world that's out there. No, we just show up to church because we're supposed to. We just follow a line and do all these things that we're supposed to, and it's all uniformed. It's all cut out like a cookie cutter, and nothing could be any different. It's all predictable and everything else, and that's the way that most Christians live today. But I'm telling you folks, the reason I'm preaching this is there is coming a time when we are going to see some very strange things happen on this earth. And it's going to get very wicked on this earth. And we think it's wicked now, but it has even touched the tip of wickedness as it will in the future and what is about to come on this world. And the spiritual deception is at an all-time high in this world right now. It is very high and people are fooled. And the spiritual wickedness in high places and the principalities and the powers, they're real. It's not just something you preach about for fun. If there's a Holy Spirit, there's an anti-spirit. If there's a Holy Father, there's an anti-father. If there's a Holy Christ, there's an anti-Christ. It's real. It's a real world out there. It's happening. It happened once before. And it's going to happen again. Now, what we need to cover here is, who are these sons of God in the Old Testament? Who are they? Well, it says here, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them. Now, here's the distinction made right here. You say, what's the distinction? Well, it just says, normally. Well, men were born, women were born, they got married. Is that weird? No, that's normal. That happens all the time. Well, then what is the need to bring this into it then? Why did he say that daughters were born unto them? Okay, that's normal. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, here's the distinction. He just said that men were born, and women were born, and daughters were born unto them. But it says here that the sons of God, whoever this group was, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. The sons of God saw these daughters. Whoever these sons of God were, they were not human beings, or they weren't men, normal men. If they were, then why weren't they called son of men? Why weren't they called just men? It already said that men had daughters. Why did they make the distinction of sons of God? What is that distinction? Is that phrase in the Old Testament somewhere else? It is. And we're going to look at those passages where it is. And we're going to compare Scripture with Scripture. And we're going to see exactly what the Lord is, the lesson and what went on here. See, we have no idea what happened in the days of Noah. We are so blinded by it. We just live in a bubble. And we have no clue what happened in the days of Noah. But I'm telling you something right now, folks. You have not seen wickedness until you understand what happened in those days of Noah. It was a very wicked and awfully heinous supernatural time in this world. It's a very scary place to live. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, folks, one family made it out. One family! And you'll see by God's own words that the whole earth had corrupted itself. All of flesh was corrupt. Now, that means something, too, by the way, and we're going to look at that later. Now, remember, God wrote the book, so he's saying something happened here that was not normal. It was not normal for men to... It was normal for men to marry women. And when daughters were born unto them, that was normal. Men see women and they want to marry them. It's kind of how it works. Just works that way. Right, Roy? Amen. That's how it works. It's normal. No distinction there can be made for... But when the sons of God, if the sons of God were just the godly line of Seth, which is what is told, was not all God... Were all godly... if all were godly, then Noah wouldn't have been the only righteous one. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 7, the only have I found righteous in thy generation. He was it. He was it. Now there's a double meaning there. There's a spiritual meaning, but the spiritual, the physical was righteous because the spiritual was. You understand that? Remember that. I believe Methuselah died right before the flood. I believe he was right on the doorstep of that flood. And many believe that his name means when he is dead, it will come. And that he was right on the threshold of that flood. I mean, some people even believe that it was the morning of the flood that he died. Now, I can't prove that. I'm just saying, Brother Ickes believes that it was the morning of the flood that when he is dead, it will come. And boom, that was right there. When he died, it came. Very interesting, isn't it? See, we don't ever do enough study chronologically to understand what was going on in that time. I would love to dig into that deeper sometime and explain to you how Adam sat with Methuselah, how Methuselah sat with Enoch, how Enoch sat with Methuselah, and how all of this worked, and how everybody sat there and explained this. And you'll understand how truth was passed down. Then you'll not depend on the pastor to give truth to your children. You'll actually train them yourself, because you understand it's your responsibility. And it was so in the beginning. And it's never changed. Never. Anyway, that was free. It didn't cost anything. So we have to look at the rule of first mention here. As we look at the scriptures, that was the first mention of the sons of God. Now, let's look at the second mention of it. Turn to Job chapter 1 and verse number 6. Who are these sons of God? Well, let's see if this opens up and answers the question of who they were. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Okay, now let me ask you a question. Let's just stop right there. There was a day when the sons of God came. Now, do any of you believe that you can just go ahead and ascend up to heaven and with Satan and you can just present yourself before the Lord? Does anybody think that the godly line of Seth could just ascend themselves up to heaven? The godly line of Seth, and they could have just mere men could just ascend themselves up to heaven and stand before God with Satan and present themselves before the Lord. I'm sorry. Is there always a day? Is there a day in the Old Testament that you could see anywhere else that said that all of mankind presented themselves before the Lord, or the saved walked into heaven and presented themselves before the Lord? Is there anybody want to argue that? I don't think there's an argument for that. I know I take Scripture very literally. And this is what it says. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to where God was, to present themselves before the Lord. What body do angels have? What's that called, their body? Is it called celestial or terrestrial? Which one is it? Right. Now you have a terrestrial body, right? You don't have a celestial body, correct? You can't just fly into heaven. You weren't created outside of time. You were created inside of time. They were created inside of time too, I believe. But the difference is they were given a different body. They were given, this earth's gravity doesn't hold them. They can go anywhere. They can do anything. They can form. They have powers that you and I do not have. Their body is different. Paul talked about things celestial, things terrestrial, not the same. Not the same body, he said. Different body. Okay? And the Lord said unto Satan, well, anyway, let's go back here, one verse here. And Satan came also among them, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Anywhere I want to go, doing whatever I want to do. Pretty much is what he's saying. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Because remember, he's the old accuser. So Satan was just coming up there, and he just wanted to brag about how bad man was and what was going on in the earth. See how evil it is down there? See all that stuff that went on down there? See how bad they are? And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? In these verses we see that the sons of God appeared before the Lord on a day. Besides, I find that fascinating. You have to think about that. Like, what were they doing? All the angels just gathered together and they appeared before the Lord. Isn't that amazing? It just makes you wonder about that day. I wonder about that. As I was looking at this, I was wondering, what in the world happened? Like, what were they doing? Just giving a report? Like, hey, this is what's going on. I don't know. God already knows everything. I don't know. Maybe they're just presenting themselves to see him, and it was just in his majesty that they were able to be near him, and maybe that's what it was. And I don't know. I wonder how that all went down. I know it doesn't have anything to do with really what we're talking about, but don't you wonder what was going on there? I mean, that they all just decided to gather up there. God said, hey, they've appeared before the Lord. It's time. Interesting. I believe in this perfect, inspired, infallible book, the King James Bible, and I believe that God makes no mistake in his book. And this book he gave to man. And we see that Satan appearing before God with the sons of God. Can you and I do the same? Can we just get right into heaven right now and appear before God like Satan did and the sons of God did? No. And why did Satan come with the sons of God? Because he was a fallen angel. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. He still had access to God in heaven, and he could go there. And he went there to accuse the brethren. He went there to accuse people, and he walked up into heaven, and God said, well, have you considered my servant Job? Very interesting, isn't it? Job 2:1 now. Go to Job chapter 2 and verse number 1. Let's see this, the third mention of the sons of God here. Again, he said, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. So for some reason, Satan was presenting himself as well before the Lord. And I don't know what the reason is. Maybe he was required to do it. Maybe he just wanted to come up there and say, well, I'm just like the other angels. I'm going to come up and I've always had access. And you know, he always wanted to be around God to say he was like God and everything else. So I don't know. But anyway, he came up there and he wanted to accuse Job, obviously. And God knew his heart. God knew already what Satan had in mind for Job. And that's why I believe that's why God asked him, hast thou considered my servant Job? Why? Because God knew that he was watching Job for a long time, that Satan was watching him and thinking, man, why are you so blessed? I just want to rip you apart right now. So, yeah. Just like he wants to do to anybody that fears God and loves God. He wants to rip your life apart, destroy you, get you mixed up into pornography and wickedness and everything else, to destroy the family and destroy your testimony so you can do nothing for God. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wanted to do to Job. He said, watch me rip his life apart. So God knew the devil's wicked heart, and he said, well, hey, have you considered my servant Job then? Because I'm going to prove to you he's real. I'm going to prove he's real. At the same time, Job learned some lessons too as well, but we're not here to talk about that today. Again, there was a day, so he came, and the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Now let me ask you, can you go to and fro from the earth and can you walk up and down it? These sons of God were going to and fro in the earth, and they were walking up and down it, doing whatever Satan was doing that. They were doing the same thing. They were going about doing whatever God had them doing, guarding whatever God had them guarding, watching whatever God had them watching, because they were watchers. Amen. There are watchers assigned to the earth, I believe. And anyway, watching angels, and the Bible says that, and the Bible says you may have entertained angels. You don't know. You don't have a clue. Amen. I believe that still. I know it's written in that book, and I know it sounds crazy to some people. But you know what? Some people will believe vampire movies, and they'll watch that, and I believe that's all true, too. But they don't want to believe that a loving God does things. But they'll believe in the devil's wickedness. They'll believe in that stuff. They'll believe in that vampires and all that goofy garbage that's on there, all that satanic garbage that this world is corrupted with today. What do you think they're doing, folks? Do you not understand that stuff is all real? Those half-man, half-beast and all that stuff was real? That's not just a figure of somebody's imagination. That stuff happened. Those things happened. But people don't want to believe that. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth? Again, these are the sons of God, the angels that came, and Satan came with them. No man can come with them. No man can ascend into heaven. Only angels have that power to stand before God, or the celestial bodies to do that. No man can do that. 1 Corinthians 15:40 says this, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. We cannot do those things that they can do, but they can enter our realm, and they can be guardians or they can be wicked. So far that we have seen in these three references to the sons of God, it is undeniable that these sons of God were angels. They could not be anything else, because men could not present themselves like that before the Lord and Satan come with them. It is not possible for them. And by the way, the name, and I don't get into Hebrew and all that kind of stuff, but the name even means sons of Elohim. That's what it means anyway. In the Old Testament, and people say, well, what about Adam was called the son of God? That's because Adam was directly created by God. God formed him. It's not said that about anybody else in the Old Testament. It's not. By the way, there's another reference, though, that's even more convincing, and I believe it just cements it down in the Old Testament of who these people were. Turn to Job chapter 38. And I don't know how you can argue with this, because this is just plain scripture. I mean, even a blind squirrel can find a nut. I just don't understand how you could argue with this one. This is pretty clear. Job 38, verse 4. God is reproving Job because Job had some pride that he was righteous and living for the Lord. And Job was a righteous man, the Bible says. But he had some pride that God was dealing with and said, you know, you may be a righteous one in all the earth, but don't you forget that I am the righteous one. Anyway, Job 38, verse 4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Okay, everybody stop right there, and I want you to put your thinking caps on here for a second. Okay? Yeah, don't put them on too tight. Sons of God shouted for joy at the foundations of the earth being laid, seeing the cornerstone and the foundations being laid. Was there any human being alive that saw the foundations of the earth being laid? Anybody want to try to make that leap that the sons of God were just the godly line of Seth? So somehow the godly line of Seth wasn't born yet, there wasn't a man alive yet, God hadn't created Adam yet, Adam was the first man alive ever, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And, well, then who are these sons of God then? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. All the angels. No, they hadn't fallen yet. That's right. They had not fallen yet. All the sons of God shouted for joy. That's a good point. That's right. Nobody had fallen yet. Everything was good. Remember that. Even Satan hadn't fallen yet. Everything was good. Right. Everything. Now, these sons of God shouted for joy. Now, many believe that the sons of God or the angels were created the same day the stars were created. They kind of make that correlation with the stars. The Bible makes a little bit of a correlation between the angels and the stars. And folks, I don't have time to even go down that, but I'm telling you, there's so much there with the stars. Astronomy, astrology's demonic perversion of astronomy. There's so much. The gospel, listen to me when I tell you, God wrote the gospel in the stars. It's there. It could be seen. I'll teach you about it sometime. The gospel in the stars. If you want to get a jump on that, you can Google Bullinger. You want to borrow a book? I have it. The gospel witness in the stars. I've got another one written by Joseph Seitz. That's the witness of the stars. And where you can see the constellations and you can see the gospel written in the stars. It's there. I know that sounds crazy to people, but it's not crazy. And they believed it for a very long time and they understood these things. And when we get into when we get further into this series that I'm preaching here to you, you will understand just how much these angels had control, had power, and understood things. Now, why did they understand these things? And why could they teach all these things? And why did they revert? Because they were there when it was all created and they were good. And they watched it all. So they saw all the secrets of the universe. Folks, they knew the cornerstone of the universe. They know what it is. They knew how the building, how it was fashioned. They knew how the foundation was fashioned. They understand how to cause the earth to do things that it shouldn't do. They understand how to cause upheavals. They understand the sun. They understand the moon. They understand the stars. They understand the sun. They understand geocentricity. They understand all of these things. Why? because they were there and they shouted for joy when they saw it. This sons of God reference, listen, you either have to say, I believe it in every word Bible, and I believe what it says. Every instance in the Old Testament, sons of God are fallen, are angels. They are angels, not fallen, but angels. We'll get to where they fell. But the sons of God are angels. Every reference in the Old Testament is to that. Revelation 1:20 talks about the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, I've got brethren that believe that those seven stars are pastors, but he says very clearly that those seven stars are angels. So you say, does every church have an angel? Those seven did. I can't answer for every other one. I'm just simply telling you what God said, that those were angels and he compared them with the stars. Now, what changes in the New Testament with that phrase? And we're going to cover that for a few minutes and we'll be done here. But the sons of God is different in the New Testament. And that's not a, you say, well, isn't that a contradiction? No. First of all, the Old Testament was written in what language originally? Hebrew. The New Testament was written in what language? Greek. Now, what does that mean? It means that God is concentrating on a different thing. He is returning to that, to the Son of Man, to Adam, the second Adam coming and being regenerated from above, you being regenerated from above and restoring that relationship and bringing it back in. That he would be a father to us and we would be his children. Amen? So the Bible's dealing with here. Now, John 1:12 says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now stop right there. In the Old Testament, it doesn't say that they became the sons of God. It says that they were the sons of God. Now, unless you believe in hyper-Calvinism, and you believe that they always were the elect, and they always were the sons of God, and they never were lost at any time. They were always sons of God. Unless you believe you can fall from that, unless you're mixing up the Old Testament with the New Testament, then you will come to that, the conclusion that the sons of God in the New Testament, well, he explains it. He explains it, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. He's saying that the sons of God in the New Testament are regenerated from above. They're given a new nature. Does not say any of that in the Old Testament about that phrase, sons of God. It's not referencing that at all. This is referencing that you and I can come in repentance and faith. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of what? Adoption. In the New Testament, you are adopted into the family of God. You are adopted in there by Jesus Christ. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. Clearly, we're adopted into the family of God to become the sons of God. One more reference. In the Old Testament, turn to Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. This may confuse some of you, or maybe you have to look, put on your thinking caps again here a little bit and dig a little bit deep into this and understand what I'm trying to say. But in Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 25, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You say, wait a minute, now that's talking about Jesus Christ coming. I agree with you. I do believe this is Jesus Christ. I do believe that. But Daniel chapter 3, verse number 28 says this, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. So what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm saying that Jesus is also referenced in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. And he came, I believe, as the angel of the Lord. And he came, and what did Nebuchadnezzar say? Why? I see the form of, it's like the Son of God. Well, he didn't know who Jesus was. He probably didn't even know what he was saying at that time. But he did understand that angels, it appears, were like sons of God, were sons of God. He said, the Son of God, like the Son of God. But he also says in the next reference, angel. He has sent his angel. And I believe this is another reference. I believe you could take this as another example of the very thing. That yes, we understand it was Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ is also called the angel of the Lord. And I believe he was the angel of the Lord, because when he stood with that sword over Jerusalem, and he said, I'm going to kill them all. And God stayed his hand, the angel stayed his hand and didn't do it, and God showed mercy on them. I believe that was Jesus Christ. I do. I believe it was Jesus Christ as the angel of the Lord. And I believe the angel of the Lord is Jesus. Now, some have different opinions about that, but I'll tell you what, I don't, as I've studied that phrase, angel of the Lord, I believe that's Jesus Christ. I believe it's very clear. But it's interesting, isn't it, that in the Old Testament language, what was he called? What did they say? An angel, the Son of God. And we understand he said the Son of God. You know, so we understand there's a difference, and Jesus is above all, and he's not a created being, but he can come in the form of an angel. Amen. He has that power, and that's what he did. And also he came in the form of a man. Amen. And anyway, so you see Jesus Christ himself coming in the form of that angel of the Lord to deliver them from the fiery furnace. I understand Nebuchadnezzar, what he said, but listen, I believe this also establishes the fact that they saw. Now, you will understand that most of these people in the Old Testament, and most in folklore and in mythology and everything else, they saw them as little gods, angels. They really saw them as the sons of God, the sons of gods. They saw them like that. That's how they saw them. And anyway, but I do believe that without a shadow of a doubt, if you trace every phrase of sons of God in the Old Testament, you come up with that they are angels. You cannot come up with that they are anything else. Unless you believe that those same people, God changed it in the Old Testament in different references and interchanged them. But all of the things that those sons of God did, all of those things that they did and where they were at would have to be angels in order to do that. It could not be anything else. So the purpose of this first message is really to identify who they are. I hope that makes sense to you, that you see that. And if you have any questions, you can ask me afterwards. But we're going to take a break right now. But just think about that, and then this will all lead up to the next message and the next message after that. So I hope you learned something here. Father, thank you so much for your word. Pray, Lord, that you'd please just bless us now. Bless the next service that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.